The Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older. Welcome back to the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny, the only NFL podcast where one of the hosts thinks a naked boot sounds absolutely delicious. That's Lenny, who's eaten about 20 of my shoes in his lifetime. I'm Mina Kimes, and I am joined, as always on Tuesday, by the one and only Dominique Foxworth. Dominique, welcome back to the show.
What's up, buddy? Thanks for having me back. I keep thinking you're going to cancel on me one of these times, but...
Really? When's my invite to your podcast? By the way, for those who don't know, Dominique has an excellent podcast, The Dominique Foxworth Show.
I don't know. Like, I have an enormous ego, and I refuse to share my stage with anyone. Just me, spitting my hot takes all the time from Jacoby's basement.
I know what that says about Charlie, who's actually on the podcast, but... Who? Listen... Yesterday afternoon, when I was looking ahead to Monday night and thinking about talking about it to you, I was filled with dread. I actually thought about like coming up with, we should like spin it forward and maybe even talk about Thursday night. But Dominique, I was dead wrong because we were rewarded with not only like an interesting game, but a game where I think like a lot of storylines emerged from, and I thoroughly enjoyed Monday's game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, we got quarterback controversies. We got another offense figuring out for the first time that their quarterback's a pretty good athlete, and that's a good thing to build around. Got Brisker getting kicked in the goods and then intercepting the ball. Like, it's just a lot of fun out there. We got Bill Belichick barely opening his mouth and letting small, tiny words come out that don't mean anything. It's magical.
Where do you want to start, with the quarterback controversy in New England or Justin Fields having one of the best games of his career? Are you want to be the devil or the angel today?
Oh, man, devil me. So let's go quarterback controversy first. I want to go to the bad stuff.
So just to recap for anyone who didn't, well, there's a lot outside of the game that has to, you know, I think is relevant to this. It was a game time decision whether or not the Patriots would start Mac Jones, who had coming off of a multi-week absence with an ankle injury, or Bailey Zappe, who had obviously won a couple of games. You know how I feel about quarterback wins. He's a pretty good poster child for that, actually. So it goes out to the last second. Patriots come out. They are starting Mac Jones. And Mac Jones has a couple underwhelming series. Throws an interception. He is pulled. Bailey Zappe comes in. Bailey Zappe has a couple of good series and then is not good the rest of the game. So I think, you know, most people, most observers of the game would think, well, Mac Jones was benched. Not so, says Bill Belichick, who says after that this was all part of the plan, and then he's asked to name the starter. He does not name a starter. Several Patriots, Mac Jones says he knew about the plan. Bailey Zappe did not know about the plan. Several Patriots did not know about the plan. Dominique, let's start here. If this is any other coach, they would be ridiculed. Am I wrong?
Absolutely. And Bill Belichick deserves it too. It seems absurd to me. I mean, I guess it just speaks to him trying to be secretive, I guess. Because they are not different style quarterbacks. So the argument for the two quarterback system would be like one brings something that the other doesn't, which is normally like a running ability. Neither of them fall into that category. The other argument that they kind of put out there was Mac Jones was healthy enough to start the game, but they didn't think he was going to be healthy enough to finish the game, which I think is the most absurd thing I've ever heard. Who's ever entered a game like, hey, this guy's good enough to play, but we're not expecting him to finish. What the hell type of nonsense is that?
He also had an ankle injury and he was running around just fine. So he immediately disproved, I think, that being a concern pretty quickly.
So what it suggests to me is that Bill Belichick is very interested in seeing where this Bailey Zappe thing is going to take him, but he didn't want to give anybody any headlines or anything to talk about and say we have a quarterback controversy. He has not stopped us because I've been talking about this quarterback controversy all damn day, and I will keep talking about it until it's settled. And like, I think I want to hear what you have to say about it and also what direction you would go going forward.
Well, look, Bill Belichick loves competition. This is something they do with other positions. Hell, he did it with his own offensive coordinators during the summer. But I think my take, Dominique, is quarterback's not a position where you do that, especially when you have young quarterbacks. And what surprised me, I said this in my first take a little bit about it, was You know, last summer, you remember when they cut Cam Newton during the offseason, people were surprised because, if nothing else, Cam Newton was probably one of the better backups in the league, right? You don't cut a very good backup who you're not paying a ton of money. But the Patriots did that after drafting Mac Jones because they wanted Mac Jones to be the unequivocal starter. It was a locker room thing. Short answer, Cam Newton's too cool. So they did it. And honestly, in retrospect, makes sense, right? So you go from that where you're kind of gingerly managing the psychology of your quarterback and your locker room dynamics to this where it's literally the opposite. You're treating your quarterback room almost like a bullpen. It's not something that happens in the NFL for a reason, which is, you know, not forget the mental side and whether Mac Jones is mentally tough enough to deal with this. At some point, you have to commit to a young quarterback because you want to develop him. Mac Jones has struggled this season. He has clearly regressed when it comes to his decision-making under pressure, most notably. I think probably the offensive coordinator thing has something to do with that. The worst thing to me, in my mind, would be to just go back and forth between these guys when both of them need as many reps as possible.
Yeah, I don't get it from a strategic standpoint. Maybe he thinks he's going to rekindle some Tom Brady magic with Bailey Zappi, and they're just going to go off and roll off a bunch of wins and win the Super Bowl. I don't think this defense is that good, but sure. We'll see. But yeah, I hadn't even considered the psychological impact, which I think is it's important. I tend to think like they can fight through whatever mental adversity there is. It's not that substantial, but it's not just that. Even if that is going to impact them, it's also the reps thing. Is quarterbacks need to practice. They need to practice and they need to play to get better. And while these quarterbacks are pretty similar, there are things, I'm sure there are things that each of them is better at. And those are things that you need to major in and those things that you need to be practicing to make sure everyone else on the offense is comfortable doing those things. And so like it seems like you're setting yourself up for some challenges when even the way that they want to play is not a quarterback centric style. Right. So why would you be putting, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. That's the bottom line.
Also, when Jones came in, you didn't see as much of the like under center play action in which Zappi had been thriving and things had looked so easy for him, which perplexed me. You saw it a little bit. And then Zappi comes in. And of course, immediately he gets the most wide open touchdown off of Leak to Jacoby Myers. He almost misses him, but it looked like it had the last two games, which is, everything's kind of easy for this guy. He's well protected. Defenses are selling out against the run. Then as the game went on and they fell behind, he couldn't do that anymore. And you saw, I think, his limitations as a passer. And ultimately, I don't think like there's a huge delta between him and the version of Jones that we're seeing, but with either of these guys, you know, one has to be better than what we've seen. And I don't think one is going to be better via this, whatever the hell it is. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, do you think you know where Mac Jones's ceiling is? I think that's the real question that would help me decide where to go. And I kind of feel like I do, which is why I would lean more to see what the Zap Man's got. But maybe I'm wrong.
You know, last year when Jones was playing well, somebody, I can't remember who it is, said to me they thought his ceiling might be like a Phillip Rivers, which I thought was plausible.
That's high.
Yeah, the problem is, you know, when you are accurate, but you don't have the strongest arm, you have to make good decisions. Like, that is literally your calling card. Yeah. So for him to be struggling in that area, it really constricts what he and this offense are capable of. Zappi, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I don't think he has the strongest arm either, candidly.
Yeah, doesn't seem like it.
So it's not... I don't know. It's not a great situation.
Yeah, it's like the same thing. Yeah, they're just going to platoon two mediocre quarterbacks.
Especially when on the other side, you have a quarterback who's really struggled, but who the ceiling is so obviously dramatically higher. And maybe that's a good way to transition to talking about Justin Fields and what he did, because it was really fun to watch. I'll just start there. Like, I really enjoyed watching the Bears.
It looked like an entirely different team. Like, they seemed confident. They seemed... organized, which I know sounds dumb, but like it was just a a deliberate nature to the way that they were playing offensively. They're playing really well on defense also, but just their offense seemed like they knew what they want to do. I guess that's more it than anything, is like they came into this game knowing that they had an advantage somewhere. We are going to do design quarterback runs. That's going to work. We know it's going to work because we have a great athlete at quarterback, and we have some plays that we think are going to work. And once they started doing that, and this is just like, it's football 101 that I think sometimes coaches start to outthink themselves. But the way I understand offense and defense too, frankly, is like, you need to have a cornerstone, something that you like know that you can trust. And if you have a really great defensive line, then that takes pressure off of everybody else. You have really great corners, then you can roll the coverage elsewhere. You can load the box to stop the run. And on offense, it's like if you can run the ball really well, you can build off of that. Like if you run a sweep, and you keep running a sweep till they stop it. Once they stop it, you then run a reverse. And once they stop that, then you go play. Like just build off of it. And it seemed to me that they were like, you know what? Today we are going to do design quarterback runs. It's going to work. They're going to compromise themselves in order to stop it. And then we're going to do other stuff that's going to work based on the compromises that they put themselves in. That's all.
First of all, I big up the Patriots defense last week. Woof. Huge mistake. Top to bottom. I thought the secondary looked out of sorts, who I'd been praising. Judon did some things, but for the most part, the pass rush wasn't there. But I was going to make them fun of them in particular for seemingly like totally unprepared for all of the Justin Fields run concepts, except for the fact that prior to this game, Justin Fields had never carried the ball more than 5 times. This was in our stats packet. What the hell?
Yeah. That's crazy. I forgot on Get Up this morning. I don't remember the exact stat, but it was like in the first 6 games, I think he had like 13 design runs and he had 12 last night. 12. It was something like that.
To say nothing of his scrambles, which were obviously magical. And like, you know, I tweeted about this, but they had some Skycam action. When you saw the Skycam, I thought it was really, in some games, Skycam is like a little bit annoying if you're trying to keep track of actually what's happening on the field, honestly, and like from a down a distance perspective. But what it lets you do is you see how hard football is. You see what blocking is and how hard it is to play quarterback. And for me, it was like, oh my God, he is so big and so fast. And that was really highlighted from the behind view every time he took off. It reminded me a little bit. You talked about like just spamming it until it stops working. And it reminded me a little bit of the Giants conceptually, right? Like it was not a complicated offense. Even that some of the particular runs they were, you know, it was a mixture of zone read. You talked about the sweeps. It was the same shit we've seen Daniel Jones succeeding with. The difference is Justin Fields is an even better athlete. And so of course it worked, but like, it's just shocking that it's taken them this long to lean into it. He also, by the way, was absolutely fantastic throwing on the move. It felt like every time he booted out whatever direction, he had an open receiver, and the ball placement was there too. It was just like, this is the formula, Chicago. It works, you know? Like, it just seems unfathomable.
It's so encouraging to see that.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's so encouraging to see that for a full game and against a defense that we believe is good. Like it's impressive, and it makes you feel like it's all you need is a game like that to like be all in. I don't know if people were on the fence about Fields. It'd be reasonable to not know how to feel about him given last year and what's happened so far this season. But when you see him do that yesterday, it's like, how can you not be excited about the opportunity and understand that he don't even got the parts? Like, they don't even have the parts yet. And once you get that and a receiver who they can get him a true number one receiver and upgrades to the offensive line and to the defense, like this is a team that could be well positioned to own their division with this quarterback.
And it's like, okay, this is the base, right? Like, so the base, the offense is not particularly complicated, but when you have that where you can actually start stringing together drives and converting on third downs, you can build on it and he can start actually growing as a quarterback. There was the the screen to Herbert versus Cover Zero, where he kind of sidearmed it, you know? And like, I was like, oh God, that's great. Like that's like, you know, all the throwing on the move, the design runs, that's the foundation. And then you start adding on, okay, like he's, you know, becoming better against the blitz and he's becoming, you know, a good decision maker and he's going through his reads on this throw. And it doesn't have to be the whole game, but you just start adding, like layering on development and it looks great. I mean, the Bears freaking, they bullied the Pats up front. The run blocking was shockingly good, but also a huge part of the reason why the backs were able to get so many yards before contact was because of Fields running. Shocking, right? I mean, yeah. So let me ask you this. Does this give you, like, do you think the Bears, I don't know, are going to be relevant now? Or is that an overreaction?
I'm not ready to go that far. They're much better than I anticipated. It was a lot of pressure on Justin Fields to create offense for them. And that's the thing that I feel like you need to do more than anything for young quarterbacks is find ways to take pressure off of them. And that gives them time to develop into the, I don't know, Josh Allen's or whatever. If that's their ceiling, you got to give them that time to do that. I think that Justin Fields is capable of doing this a couple more times this year, but I don't see the recipe for taking pressure off of him. And I don't think that he's going to be able to do this enough times this year for them to be relevant. And I guess I should look at their schedule to see what other offenses they're going to be going up against. But yeah, this Pats offense wasn't good.
Was not great. Yeah. And you know, I think like thinking about the Bears in the long view, games like this are just very encouraging because you feel like you have a head coach and offensive coordinator who are, you know, understanding your quarterback. You start seeing there's like a little bit of a young core forming, of course, on defense, guys like Jaquan Brisker, you know, you see Kyler Gordon, the draft picks are starting to hit a little bit. And then you go into next season where it's like, okay, even if you don't make the playoffs and maybe the offense is still just average on the whole in terms of the efficiency and there are games where it doesn't look great, suddenly you have an outrageous amount of cap space, which they do have next year. You got your draft picks finally. You can start actually building. So the fact that we were worried that this would be a disastrous year for Fields where it would actually like set back his development. And if that's averted, you really, then you're in a good position to rebuild.
You're a good friend. my dad used to tell me this when I was young, is like with my mom, if there was something wrong, like she was shopping too much or something, he would always say, we. Like, it's like, hey, we really need to like control our spending this month. You just pulled the we with being concerned about Justin Fields, because I was the one who was very concerned about Justin Fields and said that he should force his way out because they were going to ruin him. And it appears that I was right until yesterday.
what were your mentions like yesterday?
I don't know. I don't even think I got on Twitter yesterday. I'll check them now while you filibuster for me.
Show me, send me, read me the best angry tweet that was sent to you. Well, okay. I will say on the flip side, I don't think it's an overreaction to be very worried about the development of Mac Jones and what yesterday meant for him. And look, Bill Belichick, you know, he's done a lot of things right this year. Obviously their defense, you know, they were missing pieces in the secondary, all of that. But I do think like the original sin of not having a real offensive coordinator is potentially going to bite them, especially in the second half of the season. And I'd be worried.
It's just people mocking me for a write-off season, Foxworth. That's that sort of stuff. This is the problem I had with it. It's like nobody's really that funny or creative. Like, I don't mind. Like, don't waste my time. Like, I know I was wrong. Telling me I was wrong isn't fun. Like, give me a GIF. Right. Make
Bears
me chuckle.
Fans, before we take a break, if you're listening, please come up with a creative insult of Dominique Foxworth. And I will read the most creative one. Whenever I tweet this podcast out, put it in the replies if you're a Bears fan. All right, let's take a quick break and talk about some old dudes. All right, people, we are brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. See, it's not just about the daily promos, odds boosts, or the hundreds of ways to wager. It's about the immortal words of Caesar himself. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Every bet you place on the app, no matter the outcome, earns towards exclusive perks at Caesars Rewards destinations everywhere. Hotel stays, concert tickets, bonuses, and more. Download the Caesars Sportsbook app, become a Caesars Rewards member today, and get more with every wager. Must be 21 years or older to gamble. Gambling problem? Call or text 1-800-522-4700.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do. Big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/MinaShow today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/MinaShow, MinaShow.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. And I have to say, speaking from experience recently, having tried it for the first time in Detroit, it is absolutely delicious. Right now, you can get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
All of our woofs were in the same family, the aforementioned old men. We're going to put the woofs in the middle. I'll start with my winner, if that's okay, and then we'll end with your winner.
Okay.
My winner is the Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver group. This is kind of a continuation on something we've been talking about, be the spot. You know, I like to have there be like a little bit of a through line through these podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I had expressed concerns about the receivers, the lack of separation, how they were held up versus man coverage. In the San Francisco 49ers game, first of all, the Chiefs offense as a whole was an absolute buzzsaw against a good San Francisco 49ers defense. I saw Football Outsider said it was like the highest DVOA game in like years because of the quality of opponent and what they did. They were averaging like nearly, I mean, it was just insane. But I wanted to single out the wide receivers because I thought, you know, obviously Patrick was great. Patrick Mahomes was great. But you actually had all of them making plays and really like, it was kind of the vision I think people had in mind when they put this group together, where you had MBS stretching the field. I think, let me write it down. He had 2 go balls for 71 yards and 1 post for 40. You had Nicole Hardman stretching the field horizontally. The Niners had no answer for those jet sweeps. In fact, the jet sweeps were perfect because they took advantage of the Niners' over-aggression. Literally every time you had, whether it was Nick Bosa or Ebukam or whatever, an edge of like just in the backfield going, no, as Michael Hardman ran by. And then underneath, of course, Kelsey's great. But then you had Juju, who was once again just absolutely perfect catching all of his targets. And Dominique, those the back shoulder fades to Juju, watching them brought me back to another thing we were talking about, which is the man coverage struggles. So you have these receivers separating, but then you also have a receiver in Juju who can catch everything thrown his way. And suddenly, by the way, like every defense that's played the Chiefs, the Niners did bump up their man coverage in this game. They don't usually play a lot of man at all. So, you know, it'd been a struggle for the Chiefs at times this year. In this game, first in the NFL in EPA per attempt versus man coverage, Patrick Mahomes with a QBR of 95. So Sorry, the season's over. The Chiefs won again.
Yeah, if they're able to do that, and I guess the your point about them not playing a lot of man coverage, maybe they aren't that great at man coverage. So a team who's a little bit more accustomed to it might give them a tougher time. But it looks scary. It looks scary again. It was not scary for a couple of weeks, even though in those weeks they were the best offense in football. They were looking a little not scary because we all miss Tyreek Hill, what he brought to that offense, and they do more than anyone. But yeah, they're good. They're really good. And I think I mentioned last time we were talking about this and I was arguing about their need for a number one receiver. I think I kind of suggested that this was like not a rebuilding year, but this was like a year that they were going to like take a slight step back. And by next year, they would address all those things. I was wrong. it was crazy, crazy talk. Like, this is not the best version of the Chiefs offense, no matter what the numbers suggest. But that on that day, that was the best version of the Chiefs offense.
I'm so mad a Juju Smith-Schuster for waiting a year to sign with the Chiefs because he wasted all of our time going back to the Steelers last year. And I do think it would have been so helpful for this offense against, you know, the too high last year, because he really provides a facet that's been missing, you know, his toughness over the middle of the field, the contested catches, the yards after the catch, it's a good blocker. Like it really feels like he was kind of the missing piece. You know, he's not going to change the game, obviously, the way a Tyreek Hill will. But I just think in terms of like complementary football and what he does, with the answer he gives them versus specific looks is incredibly valuable. And yeah, I mean, Chiefs.
I think his value is really comes when you're playing, when you have that deep threat, because that's what happened last year. It's like they were trying to take away the Tyreek Hill stuff and they didn't have a Juju underneath to address that. And now we weren't sure that they had the deep balls because Tyreek was gone. But yeah, MVS is catching him in this game.
If that back shoulder connection too is there, ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not fair. I hate the back shoulder fate. It's
good night. Can you explain disgusting. Why you hate it? Because from a DB's perspective, I think people might be interested.
I've actually seen a lot of corners in recent years like play a more side saddle technique that helps them to defend both the back shoulder and the go. But the reason why you hate it is when someone is running straight, the receiver's running straight, you're next to him, and your assumption is they're going deep. So you turn on the speed as much as you can because you're like, all right, I'm going to beat you to this deep ball. And then they throw it like just behind your head and it's just enough time for them to stop and adjust. And you're still like trying to run down this deep ball and you're adjusting and reacting to them. And the ball gets there at that exact time. It's kind of impossible to cover. But like I mentioned, a lot of guys now are playing like with their chest to the sideline. And it just like it seems really hard to run fast enough to keep up if they're going to run a go like that. But it's a lot easier to cover the back shoulder. I saw Sauce did it a bunch of times really well against Cortland Sutton, which like I don't know. I don't have. It's just I couldn't think like that. And I don't know how these young corners do.
He's
like, it's go time. Let's run. It's
fearlessness, you know, just total fearlessness. The way he put. I mean, we should talk about him at some point, by the way.
Oh, I did a little Sauce deep dive this weekend just because I'd seen so many highlights. I just wanted to watch it. And I was surprised at what he was good at because I just assumed I knew he was good, but I just assumed big, long armed corner is going to be like a press man guy, and it's not where his best contributions have come at all.
He was really underrated in zone coverage in college.
But
we should actually at some time, I'd love to have a conversation with you about the rookies. We should probably wait until there's more tape, but like the rookie corners versus all of the other defensive positions, I mean, maybe it's just a small sample size, but you know, you're looking across rounds, you're seeing guys, you know, taken in later rounds as well, Seattle, who are playing really well. And it they seem to be having much more success than the edge rushers, certainly the young linebackers. Yeah. It's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah. Now, I would love to have that conversation. I also want to talk about the development of the position too. Because I feel like it's been a long time. Around the time when I was in the league, we started to be more pass focused and changed a lot of the rules. And it feels like a lot of these corners that are just getting to the league now, grew up understanding what was expected of them and have developed skills and body types to allow them to play the game. And I think we are entering a period where corners, for the last 15 years, it felt like every team had needed corners. Every year in the draft, it was safe to say, you know what they need? Corners. Because nobody could play corner in the league the way that they were asking to play. But we're finally getting to a point where these guys are figuring it out. And that means they're going to change the rules again.
Yeah. All right. All of our losers, woofs, pardon me, are older quarterbacks. I mean, Brady, Rodgers, Matt Ryan. Let's talk about Matt Ryan first. Obviously, it was your pick in the news. Another one where he was benched, but then he wasn't benched. What's going on these days with quarterbacks? Because he had a shoulder sprain. But he was very clearly benched because Frank Reich came out and said Sam Ehlinger is going to be their starting quarterback for the rest of the season, which is a benching. So Matt Ryan, man, go.
Yeah.
Requiem, an obituary.
That's your man's.
I know. I'll say my piece after you.
You're Matt Ryan Hive solo. So Jim Irsay was apparently the impetus to this move. He's known for running quarterbacks out of town. He did the same thing with Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan. So I think I stumbled onto a new theory, I believe, because last year we had all these, not last year, but last 2 years we had quarterbacks move to new teams. Those teams win the Super Bowl. Copycat league, everyone's like, yeah, we're just a quarterback away. We're going to do the same thing. But if you think about the quarterbacks that kind of had that success, they either had really refined offensive philosophies and understandings of offense, or went to a place where they had it. So I think of Peyton Manning, where he just lifts up his offense and moves it out to Denver. Tom Brady, obviously, he understands football to a different degree. And Matt Stafford went out there to go with McVay, who had a vision for what it is that he wanted to do. And I think that's what's missing with a lot of these quarterbacks that are moving. So Russell Wilson was in a system that we all thought the system was holding him back. So then he was like, all right, well, I'm going to go out here and do something else, something new. And he goes to an unproven head coach without any offense, and he's installing his offense or mixing offense, and then this happens. The same happens with Matt Ryan. It's like his best year with Shanahan, a great offensive mind. You drop in there and you just add water, it's supposed to be all right. Nope. Same with Carson Wentz, which I guess Carson Wentz is two stop failures at this point. But that's my working theory for the quarterback away trades, is why they do or don't work, is because you need to have a clear, coherent view of what the offense is going to be. And it doesn't feel like we get that in all situations.
Yeah, just the surroundings. In the quarterbacks you've mentioned where mobility led to success, I do think that you're right about the system, but I also think that their surroundings mattered a great deal. I mean, if it was Stafford, for example, when the Rams offensive line was one of the best in football last year.
Yeah.
They had all those playmakers. They had OBJ. And actually that system, as you remember, McVay actually changed it as the year went on and tailored it more to Stafford. But it was a great destination. So Matt, look, I am a stan. However, I am also a realist, and I will acknowledge that Matt Ryan has not played well this year. His arm looks weaker than it did last year. That said, my man's was sold a lie.
He was.
I always check TripAdvisor when I book a hotel. Sometimes when you look at the pictures and you'll see the photos of the hotel rooms, sometimes it looks so great. And then when you show up, it's trash. And you realize you were looking at the pictures taken by the hotel and not by the travelers. You got to look at the traveler taking photos. So the photos he saw were of a perfect offensive line, all the time in the world, incredible run game. He shows up and you know, there's a roach on the bed. The blinds don't close all the way.
Jonathan Taylor didn't show up.
air conditioning is really loud. Clatters all night, you know. So anyways, he deserves some of the blame, but it was tough. And moving forward, I said this on live. He's a real college quarterback, you know. He's not the strongest arm. Decent athleticism. I do think his athleticism will help the run game a bit.
That's the reason, right? That's the reason why they're bringing him in, is because their offensive line. I mean, I think that's the logic behind
it.
His athleticism will give them a dynamic that'll help this team out. But this Andrew Luck situation, man, they can't get up from under it. Like, remember when Chris Ballard was like everybody's darling GM? And it's falling apart.
I don't think he survives. Well, I hate making predictions about that, but it's not looking good for him or Reich. Okay, let me ask you a question about Brady and Rodgers, because we're going to talk about them together now. Who do you think is more likely to turn it around? That's such a ESPN TV question.
It is. I think Brady.
Me too. Me too. Okay. No, me too. We're at the same range.
I mean, they have more time given their division issues. And they have a defense that we know is capable of being really good. The Packers defense has a lot of talent, but we've never seen them be really good. it's a modern game where passing is the most important thing. They do have receivers who are also really good. Interior of the offensive line and the run game are problems that potentially you can find ways to work around. The Packers' offensive problems, I think, are more difficult to work around. And their defense is just like, it's the sum of its parts is less than the value of each of their individual parts. So, like, I don't believe they're going to just suddenly start playing shut down defense. So, which I could easily see the Bucs go back to playing the type of defense they were at the start of this year.
So I'm with Brady because he still makes... Every now and then, he still makes some really, really good throws downfield, whereas Rodgers, we'll get to Rodgers in a second, isn't even attempting them at this point. The Bucs, it's kind of hard to pick one thing that's wrong with the offense, because there's a bunch of things, and we've talked to no end about the run game and how awful it is. And, you know, I think the reasons for that awfulness are a little bit complicated, and there's a few things. John Ledyard, who covers the Bucks, is a Bucks fan and does a great job. I was DMing with him about it, and he talked a little bit about how, you know, they have such a north-south run game, right? It's very old school, and they just don't have the linemen, and so he feels like there should be some sort of variation. I don't know, more gap stuff, maybe get the guards and the move a little bit. But as far as Brady himself, you know, I kind of said this last week, but it really jumped out to me watching Carolina. I said he doesn't want to get hit. Anything over 2.5 seconds, it can go. Either he's going to throw a dime or he's going to freak out because he doesn't want to get hit. That literally is how I feel right now watching him. Yeah. And I actually think usually he makes the offensive line look better. I actually don't think they're as bad as he seems to believe, if that makes sense. It's just... outside of the quick game, there's no confidence there and no consistency. But I do think that's more likely to get better because at least he's making the throws.
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer to the Bucs run issue may be more complicated, but I think the answer to the Packers issue with the running game is a little simpler, and that they need to put Aaron Rodgers under center. Because
I can't wait to talk about this.
You disagree?
No, I agree. And I was pulling some stats on this because I was
I just think that it's very difficult to have an effective running game with your quarterback and shotgun if your quarterback's not a run threat.
Yeah.
So it's not something that, like, shotgun is meant to pass. Like, that's the point of shotgun. And nothing else, that's the formation is optimized for throwing the ball. So if you don't have, and this goes back to what we were saying about the Bears at the beginning, you need something. You need your thing, your Infinity Stone that you're going to build around.
Your thing is Aaron Jones.
Yes. Yeah. So let's do it.
I'm so glad you said this because I was just pulling these numbers after finishing the Commanders game and I sent them to Orlovsky. Let me make sure I have them because they're okay. So something that really jumps out to me is the play action game sucks. Last year, the play action game was great. Aaron Rodgers was top five in every metric. This year, and they run it about the same amount, although they didn't in the last game, I think, particularly because now he just wants to sit in the gun and like point guard that thing for the same underlying reason, by the way, with Brady, where I just think he doesn't want to get it. But so this year, he is 25th. It is bad. And I sent this to Dan because I was watching all of the play action passes. So last year, hold on, let me find this. Sorry, I should have put this. I didn't really know we were going to go here. But okay, sorry. Last year, they were under center on play action 67% of the time. This year, it's down to just over 40%.
Damn. Nice.
So you're right. I mean, it's just, yeah, I think... Right. Yeah, I think he just wants to sit back there and just pew, 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 pew. And it's not working, man.
Pew, pew. Such a great sound. Also, I don't need just stupid numbers to know I'm right. I knew I was right when I started talking. Yeah, just like when I said the Bears was having a throwaway year. I was right about that, too.
Doesn't it feel good, though, when you make a point and then somebody gives you it?
It feels so great. I appreciate that. It feels so great. Because I was nervous if you rewind it and play it back. I was nervous. She's like, I just looked at some numbers. I was like, oh, shit, these numbers are going to make me look stupid, aren't they? So thank you for having the numbers make me sound like I knew what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just gross, dude. Like, I also, in the Commanders game, over 75% of the passes were flats, slants, and screens. Like, there's just nothing. There's no verticality to this offense right now. And I think what makes me more concerned about him versus Brady is he ain't throwing. They don't look good. Granted, yeah. I'm sure a lot of it has to do with the communication with the wide receivers. Obviously, they have some horrendous drops. We'll see if that gets better. But like he clearly does not want to throw those balls right now. And it's a problem.
He was outplayed by the Heine man, which brings us to our winner.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go.
The Commanders. Actually, it should just be Terry McLaurin because that man was insane. Dude,
he is so good.
Yeah, Jair Alexander was outstanding. He was in great coverage the entire game. And somehow Scary Terry was taking the ball from all the time. It was like... It was incredible. And I would love to celebrate Taylor Heinicke. And he did play well enough. However, the biggest plays that he made were because Terry McLaurin was
there somewhere.
That's it.
I just want Terry McLaurin to have a good quarterback, man. Because he's so good. Gosh. He's such a good football player.
Oh, my gosh. He is, he's
incredible.
It was great. They ran the ball well. They did everything that you want your team to do against the Packers. And when you have a quarterback who's not great, which they have two of them. And
their defense, too, was just squatting on Green Bay. They were like, oh, you're not going to throw downfield. All right, I feel like that's got to be a big win for them. And we'll see with Heinicke. I mean, how long is Wentz out? I think it's just like a few weeks or something. They IR'd him. So
that's 4 weeks, right, at least.
I, I kind of wanted to see Sam Howell just because he was good in the preseason. I kind of feel like we know who Heinicke is. You know, he's doesn't have the strongest arm. He's going to make plays with his legs. He's aggressive, which is fun, but he's going to turn the ball over. You saw it all on display. Will it be enough to save jobs in Washington? We'll see. But yeah, Terry, I'm a little disappointed because in your first email, you said Dolphins for winner. And I think you've had the Dolphins as a topic literally every week since we done that. So I was going to make fun of you for seemingly only watching the Dolphins, but.
Oh man, but I switched it. So now, huh?
You did
no
it.
Dolphins talk.
Yeah.
I mean, the Dolphins have been really interesting, I guess is the best word.
They are a very interesting team.
They started the season really great, and then whatever happens, then the quarterback gets concussed, and they pull it back together. I don't know, just interesting. It was nice. I guess I just wanted to celebrate that Tua went out there and walked off the field under his own power, and that was a nice thing to see happen. Although I was like very dumbfounded. The first drive, he's trying to run over linebackers. What the hell?
I hate it. I know. It was not fun to watch.
Yeah.
The first drive, the first drive, McDaniels on that first drive. Oh. Good Lord. McDaniel. God, I was missing. Yeah. Oh my God. He just ate them for lunch. But yeah, it's a good one. All right. Dominique, check him out on the Dominique Foxworth Show. Comes out twice a week, sometimes more. Sometimes they're bonus episodes. You're one-upping me with these bonus episodes.
Yeah, I'm being dumb is what I am, because then they no longer become bonus episodes. I didn't do one this week for that purpose, to let the people know. Not the listeners, but the ESPNers. These are bonuses.
I'll see you next week in person.
Bye. Oh, yeah, sorry about that. I'm not done.
What?